Well, good morning and welcome to you all. You're probably looking at me and thinking, I didn't think it was going to be him this morning. And I didn't think it was going to be you this morning. But Richard, sadly, is not very well. We've tracked his progress during the week and he's been getting better. But yesterday afternoon, it was clear his voice wasn't sufficient to lead a service, so you've got me. If you don't know me, I'm Jonathan. I'm a Baptist minister, a member of this church, often preaching elsewhere, but it's a privilege to lead you in worship this morning. Just a few pieces of family news. Many of you will know that David Appleby was taken very ill a week ago, and it's great to have Daff with us this morning. And the news is that David is doing really well, and Daff wanted you to hear her thanks, their thanks, for your kindness and your support and your prayers during this difficult week. So, Daff, we continue to pray for David and for you all at this difficult time. And we've been praying very much for Carl's friend Philippa, and we're glad to hear that she's ticking along nicely, was the expression you used in your email. There are gradual improvements with more speech, alertness, and understanding. Her humor is fantastic and only occasionally getting sad, mainly about not being at home. So we continue to think of Philippa. Let's hear the word of God, which says to us, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Let's do just that as we worship God, as we sing together, Praise is Rising.
Worthy of all our praises, Hosanna.
And every day of our lives, we can worship the Lord. He's always worthy of our praise. I love this song we're going to sing now, All My Days. We can sing our praise to God. All my days, I will sing this song of gladness. Jesus, we praise you that we can come and bring our worship to you this day because you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Thank you for the life that we have already received from you. Thank you for the way in which by your Spirit you are rejuvenating our lives day by day. Living Lord Jesus, lead us closer to you this day, we pray, because we've come in your glorious name. Amen. Do please sit down. If the children would like to join me at the front, that would be great. Very lonely at the front. I need some friends. Dun, dun, dun. So, I have stolen Richard's storybooks. It's very nice to see you all. Thank you for coming. It's your birthday, is it? Hey, today?
It's my birthday.
Isn't that? No. When is it?
Friday.
Got somebody's birthday on Friday. Brilliant. Have birthdays
my
on Fridays. Hello?
My birthday.
You got a birthday?
Mine got 5 inches.
Oh, that's amazing. But you've got to wait a little bit of time, Jude, for that, but that's good.
What?
Right, I've got some things in here. I know it's Richard's box, really, but I don't think he'd mind. I put some pictures in here of some friends. Very important friends. And here's one friend. Do you know what this is? Do you think it's a lion?
No, a rabbit.
We'll have the first picture so that everybody can see. So that's
rabbit.
So this is the Edwards family. And this is a new member of the Edwards family. We got, or Kerry's got, two of these little ones for Christmas. Who's that?
Snowy.
That's Snowy.
Snowy.
You know Snowy, don't you? And who else has got a rabbit? I know some of you have. Anybody that's got a rabbit? Who else has got a rabbit?
Me.
Yep, I knew you.
I've got a cat.
Super.
Instead of a rabbit.
You've got a cat instead of a rabbit.
Yeah.
We've got a cat as well as a rabbit. Anyway,
my house.
My house. He's in your house. That's brilliant. You could preach this morning, Jude. That's great. So we love having these rabbits. We've had rabbits in the park, got through quite a few, you could say. But we're delighted to have Snowy. And we've also got another one, if you'd like to hold that. Somebody else that hold that. We've also got this other one, thank you, Paul, which is called Midnight.
Midnight,
that's right.
Sue's house.
And we love having these rabbits.
Sue's house.
Essentially. They make me sneeze, but even so, I rejoice to have them. But it's fun to have rabbits and cats and all sorts of other things. What other pets have you got? What have you got?
My sister's got fish.
Fish. Are they friendly? Do you get them out and stroke them?
No, we don't.
Okay, no, it's best to leave them in the water, isn't it? Any other pets?
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
That's
great. Any other pets?
No.
Okay. But pets are great because we can have happy times and we like to spend a lot of time stroking them and loving them. But there are also some sad times as well if you have pets. And we've got another picture and Jude knows this friend very well. Who is that, Jude?
Zephyr.
And that's a picture of our Labrador who was part of our life for 16 years and who died last month. Which was very, very sad. But that's Zephyr in the snow, how we like to remember him. And he was a wonderful friend and part of our family in many ways. We could find it difficult to think of life without him, but that's Zephyr. You could hold that. That would be brilliant. And it just reminds us, and if you have pets, you'll find that they are lovely and they're fun and they're with you for a while. But often they don't last a terribly long time, which is really sad. So we have experience of happiness and cuddles, but we also have times of sadness as well. And one of the things we've already remembered in our songs, and which we do remember as we come before God, is that God's with us all the time in the sad times and with us in the happy times as well, which is really good, isn't it? So we're going to say a prayer, and I want to say thank you for our pets, but also to ask God to bless us when we go through sad times as well. Father, we thank you for our pets, and as a family, we want to say thank you for Snowy and Midnight who've come to join us. But Lord, as we say thank you for our pets that we've got at the moment, we say, Lord, thank you for the pets who have gone away from us as well. And we thank you for Zephyr, who meant so much to us. Thank you that you're with us in the happy times and the sad times of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming to see me. It's brilliant to see you. We're going to sing a song which is about the way in which we can bless the name of God, whether we're going through good times or bad times. It's a strong song. Let's praise the Lord and say, blessed be your name, whatever we're going through.
Please do stand.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
Lord, we thank you that we can bless your name, whatever we're going through. You're there for us. You're there with us. And we say thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, for every child and young person who's part of this congregation. We really thank you for them and pray that they'll have an excellent time as they go to their groups now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, off you go and have a brilliant time. And now we're going to stand together and sing, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise him for his grace.
Lord, it's so good to stand in your holy presence as we worship you, recognizing that you are worthy of all praise. You are our creator God. You have given us everything. It's not a thing we have. There's not a breath that comes into our lungs that isn't a gift from you. Everything's a gift from you. And now, Lord, we bring you these, our gifts, and we do them as a way of showing that we love you and want to serve you. We return what you first gave to us so that you might use it to build your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for every way in which you've blessed us. We are so blessed. We give you our thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's continue in worship together. And as we do so, singing these great words of praise, we remember the world in which we live, and we'll pray for that world after we've sung. As we think of China, as we think of the scary coronavirus situation affecting not just China but the world, as we think of Australia, still struggling to cope with the bushfires and the aftermath, think of Turkey after their earthquake, we think of the USA and the impeachment trial. We think of our care for the world after the Davos meetings. We bring our worship in a real world in which we're struggling with many things. And we can only make sense of them as we come to our God and as we worship him. So let's continue in worship.
There's a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make His will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary consolation strong against despair, that when the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find my Savior there. Through present sufferings, futures fear, He whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home. There is a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold His face. When suffering ceases and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Strength. will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Do please sit down. As we wait upon the Lord, wonderful, wonderful words we've been singing of a God who meets us amidst the struggle and difficulty of life. The God who is not a God of platitudes, but a God who comes to us amidst the pain, comes to us amidst the brokenness. And so we reach out to God on behalf of our world. Lord, we bring to you this troubling situation in China, particularly in the Hubei province. Pray for good success, Lord, for the medics and all those who seek to make wise decisions at this difficult time. For Australia, Lord, we groan for Australia as they make plans, as they recover, as they seek to prepare for a different future. Bless that land, Lord. Think of Turkey, rocked by this recent earthquake. Bless all those who are bringing relief. Bless those even today who are searching for bodies. Bless them, Lord. For the United States and the impeachment trial, Lord, may truth triumph. For the Davos meetings, where much truth has been spoken about our world, prophetic words, Lord, give wisdom to leaders, we pray. Lord, for our church, we pray. We thank you so much for this church and for its vital witness here in our town. Thank you for all the other churches with whom we're glad to work. We pray blessing upon them, each one, particularly those meeting to worship you right now. Lord, bless them as they draw near to your throne of grace. We pray blessing, Lord, upon the redevelopment plans. Lord, thank you so much for those who are giving so much energy and time to that process, and we pray blessing upon all the thinking and all the planning that needs to be done. Pray particularly for Richard today. Pray that he will soon bounce back, that you would meet closely with him today and be his strength. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for David. And we continue to pray for David and Daph at this challenging time. Be with them. Make yourself known to David, we pray. And Lord, the many prayers we brought for Philippa, and we pray your blessing upon Carl's friend Philippa, that you will walk closely with her. We thank you for dear Carl and for all that he means to us as well. Be his peace. Lord, for all of our families, thank you that you know what's going on. You know the whole story. You know it better than we do. And so, Lord, with peace, with confidence in you, we wait upon you now. Let's offer our prayers.
O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me.
Amen. Let's hear God's word together.
The reading today is Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, followed by Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Anne. Appreciate it. Before I bring God's word to you, can I just advertise? Some of you will know that amongst the many things I do, I work as an ambassador for Premier. Premier is partly a radio station. There are three radio stations, you may know of them, which are doing really well. More than a million people listen to Premier every week, which is extraordinary and wonderful. But we have these magazines, Christianity Magazine, you'll know. This is the February edition, hot off the press, delivered to my house this week. costing £5.95. But if you get there quickly enough, it can be yours for free. So do please take a copy. I do commend it to you. I think it is easily the best magazine, Christian magazine around, and good content. Brilliant young editorial team. Love them, and they're doing great stuff. Youth and children's work, really useful, not just a commentary on youth and children's work, but resources for those of you involved in youth and children's work. Some useful stuff there. We've just taken over this title, Woman Alive. It's existed for a while, and we feel that we have the capacity and the contacts to, I was going to say jazz it up, but to make it a little bit more relevant to the 21st century. And love you to take a copy if you're a woman or know a woman. That'd be great. What would be even better for me, would be any feedback. Jonathan, I took it and I hated it. It's brilliant. A little bit of commentary on why you hated it or why you loved it, why your life has been turned around and will never be the same again, you know, all that sort of stuff. I've left my card on the table as well. They're on the table outside. Do please take these things, and if you have any comments, that would be fantastic. Thank you for your continuing interest in my life. I know I'm not often here. I aim to be here once a month, but I sometimes fail. I will fail in February. But it's brilliant to be here whenever I can be here. Thank you, those of you who particularly follow my life. I do publish a diary, and a number of you take it. It's an encouragement to me, a great encouragement, that people do follow my life. I'm looking after Eastleigh Baptist Churches and Waterlooville Baptist Churches at the moment that are looking for a new senior minister, but much else besides, which I won't weary you with now. But if you wanted to receive my prayer diary, you've only got to give me your email address and it will come winging your way. I like a challenge. So I'm very happy that a day ago I didn't have any idea I was preaching you to this morning, and you think he probably got one out of the drawer, didn't he? An old one. This was written for you, and it's been a real challenge, but it's been really good to look at a verse that perhaps not many preachers would choose for themselves. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But that's what Richard has generously given me, and it's my privilege to. And I've loved spending these hours reflecting on it. What you've got to remember whenever you listen to the words of Jesus is we've got used to them, the words of Jesus. We know them. They're familiar. Many of them, us have lived with them all our lives. It's just, forgive me, it's ordinary, it's just the way it is. To the people who first heard Jesus, almost all of his words were a shock. You need to get that, else you won't understand what's going on. Jesus' parables often were outrageously shocking to people. You think of just a simple little story, like the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector going up to the temple. Straightforward situation. You've got this seriously religious man. At the time of Jesus, the majority of people, the majority of Jews, didn't take their faith very seriously, but the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were really serious about their faith. They really followed the law, you know, the Torah, the first five books of the law. They lived by that. Not only so, there were a layer upon layer of other regulations, and they followed them as well. So if you talked to somebody in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus about who were the faithful followers of the Jewish faith, it was the Pharisees. They were the best that could be shown. And so in comes this Pharisee to the temple. He stands out proudly before God, and he reflects on what a good life he's lived, and certainly reminds God that he's not been a robber, an evildoer, or adulterer. He's lived a good life. And the people would have purred and said, you can't deny it. He's a good man. He then reminds God that he fasts twice a week. I mean, that's something, isn't it? Fast twice a week. He really takes his faith seriously. And he also tithes all his income. He's a good man. And then this sniveling, nasty little tax collector comes along. I need to add, we love tax inspectors these days. But in the days of Jesus, it was a completely different situation because tax collectors, as you know, they worked for the Romans. The Romans were the occupying force. Everybody hated the Romans. They particularly hated the tax collectors because they were their own people. They were the Quislings. They were the people who nasty, menacing people just after the money. They were paid well by the Romans, and they always took an extra slice for themselves. They were nasty people. And so when in comes this tax collector who has his head bowed, and people think, jolly good job too, he's got nothing to be proud of. And he beats his breast and he says, God have mercy on me, a sinner. People say, well, at least they've worked that out. And Jesus concludes, one of them goes home justified. And that man is the tax collector. And people are thinking, you suddenly turn my world upside down. How can the tax collector? Surely it's this religious man. But no. Jesus said it's the tax collector. Why? Because he was humble before God. He was humble before God. So all I'm saying through all of that is expect to be shocked. If you really understand the words of Jesus, they were deeply shocking at the time, and they're very challenging to us today. So Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. And just imagine people who first heard it and thought, people who mourn are blessed. Duh. No, don't think so. People who mourn are the unblessed, surely. They're the people. People are going through a hard time in their life. There's no blessing in that. But Jesus says, no, here's the truth. The people who mourn are blessed. Why? Because they will be comforted. Just to sharpen the problem for a moment, look at the word for mourn that is used here, and it's the same word that was used in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, for Genesis chapter 37, verse 34. For Jacob's grief, do you remember, when he is told by his sons that Joseph had probably been killed. He was probably dead. His father, Jacob, is in a state of devastation. Just imagine. To hear that your son is probably dead and you know his coat of many colors was given to his father, soaked in blood, as you know, being sold off to Egypt. But that's by the way, so far as Jacob was concerned, almost certainly Joseph was dead, and he is devastated, and he mourns. So Jesus is saying, blessed are those who experience devastating sadness. We've all known, you know, I'm not talking about something that's foreign, am I? We've all known times of devastating sadness. I've been looking after Eastleigh Baptist Church now for 2 years. Brilliant church. It's lovely to work with them. Got quite a large ministry team. We're just seeking a team leader of the team. I remember the day last year when, out of the blue, a young woman in the church died. I remember where I was. I pulled my car into the side, and the youth pastor gave me the news that Kay had died. And the church was sort of physically thunderstruck. It was the most extraordinary experience. But we can't do without Kay. It's a big church. But Kay was the creative one, and she was busy about everything. She was always around. And wow, devastating sadness. Think of other devastating moments in life, because I think this mourning word triggers all of that, where Jesus is saying, blessed are those whose lives are devastated. I think of my first church was in Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk in the 80s, and one of the key families in the church, the husband, was a builder, and he'd built well, and he was doing really, really well. The business was booming. He was converting barns at a time when it was particularly the thing to do, and was making huge money, and it was going fantastically well. And then many of you will remember that time, mid-80s, when the market crashed. And suddenly, our friend, his business crashed with it. He had too much stock. He couldn't sell it. The houses were suddenly not worth anything like what they used to be worth. Total devastation. Think of that time when we accompanied a friend as she declared herself bankrupt. Devastating. And what Jesus isn't saying is these things are not devastating. He's not saying that. He's not saying there's nothing to mourn about. The word is simply that amidst the mourning, God has something to say. That the devastation doesn't have the final word. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He's not saying there's anything good about these things, but he is saying that God blesses us amidst the challenges that we face. I don't go well with the word comfort. Sounds a bit soppy to me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Comforted sounds to me, it's just my problem, like a sort of there word. Ah, oh, dear, oh, I had a bad week. Oh, you know, sorry. It's a bit cringy for me. Sue will say, better educated than me, won't surprise you, and certainly more classically educated than me, and she studied Latin, which I never did. Sue will say, Sue's my wife, if you don't know her, she will say it's a good word because it is a Latin word, and it means with strength, comfort. However, right as she always is, you can tell her that, it still doesn't work for me. I would use the word, which actually is the translation used in other places, because the Greek word is parakaleo, is to encourage. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be encouraged. That is to say, courage will be put into them. That helps me more. How then does God encourage us? How does God meet with us? Because we all have difficult times. I'm not talking about something which just applies to a few members of the church. We all have times of devastation. It happens. Firstly, I just want to refer to the encouragement of God's presence. God is always present with us. We sung some wonderful things this morning, haven't we? About, you know, the presence of God with us through every different scene of life. God is always with us. He's with us when things go wonderfully well. But isn't it interesting? So often we do see God most clearly when all the lights are turned out. It's how it is, isn't it? You can see vastly further at night than you can in the daytime. You can see the stars at nighttime, if you're lucky. It's not a cloud cover, but it is possible. It is extraordinary how much you can see, even with the naked eye. I did a little bit of research on your behalf. It is possible to see with the naked eye. I don't know if this is from Newbury, but it was a UK site. It is theoretically possible to see 9,000 different stars with the naked eye. That's extraordinary, isn't it? In the stars that can be seen, the closest of those stars is 8.6 light years away. 8.6 light years away. I mean, light's the most amazing thing, isn't it? I love light. I'm not preaching about light, but you know how it travels at 186,000 miles per second. And that's pretty fast. That actually equates to 671 million miles per hour. I mean, I've got a Zafira. It doesn't go anything. Anyway, 671 million miles per hour. I mean, so this is what light does. We can see with the naked eye something that is, do the maths later, it's quite fun, 1,500 light years away. It's possible to see it. What I'm saying to you is you can often see more when it's dark. In those times of devastation, which we all know, those times when the lights have gone out, those times when the relationship has broken, those times when the loved one has gone, those times when we mourn, we can see God more clearly. He's always been there. But in those devastating moments, often he is at his clearest. God is always present with us. Every step of the way, even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Need fear no evil. Need have no fear, because his rod and his staff, comfort me. They encourage me. They give me strength. I've got a friend, a Baptist minister, in his 80s, who lives not far from here, is not part of this church, recently heard he has stomach cancer and about a year to live if it goes well, that sort of timing. And one of the blessings of being with him is he's saying, Jonathan, I am totally at peace. I'm just totally, it's actually quite a problem because the family are devastated and he's having to cope with them. But he's saying, I'm totally at peace. My life's in God's hands. Why wouldn't I be at peace? Friends, be sure of this. God is with you as you mourn, as you struggle, as you go through difficult times. So firstly, the encouragement of God's presence. Secondly, the encouragement of God's people. God chooses to encourage us through one another. As we go through different difficult times, we are given the strength and encouragement to support one another. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians, those fantastic verses at the beginning. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our troubles so that we can encourage those in any trouble with the encouragement we ourselves have received from God. That's brilliant, isn't it? When we go through a difficult time, it's not just about us getting through. It's about us being given the equipment to encourage other people. Those of you who've had close bereavements, you know, you have been qualified by that to pass on encouragement to other people. It's like a gift. As you go through a difficult time and God gives you the strength, he then gives you the gift to pass it on to other people. Friends, you are uniquely qualified to encourage other people. You can encourage people in a way that I can't. I can encourage people in ways that you can't because of my life story. But each of us has the ability to encourage others. And you know, because you know the impact of encouragement on you, that so often encouraging other people is not a complicated thing. It's about a smile. It's about writing a note, a thoughtful email, sending a text. It's not big stuff. It's just thinking it through, taking the opportunity. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be encouraged. And sometimes you are the person that will do that. You will be the person who will give the strength, give the encouragement. I love simple things. I love simple things. In that first church in Suffolk, we used to give out flowers every week. And Maureen, who headed up that ministry, said, I'm sure we can do more than just give the flowers away. She said, why don't we think, she said, of all the people on the estate who are going through a difficult time, don't need to come to church. But just people have been through a difficult time. Might have been in the hospital, broken their leg, you know, maybe they've lost a friend or lost a dog or whatever it is. We'll send them some flowers. And so every Monday morning, we'd meet together. And they'd make loads of poses. We got up to about 15 in the week. You know, loads of these little poses. And we're just, whenever we heard of somebody who'd lost a dog or had something not gone very well, we'd send it, just thinking of you as a church. Encouragement, and the encouragement of the number of people who came to church or whose walk with God was supported by simply the flowers being, and I know they are used here and that's great, but I love that ministry. I bumped into Maureen last month actually at a funeral, and they're still doing it. They're still looking for imaginative ways of reaching out to more and more people in the community through these flowers. Simple. But something we can do, we can be encouragers. Just a final word. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are going through difficult times. Why are they blessed? Because of God's presence with them. Because of the encouragement of God's people. Finally, because of the encouragement of God's future. It's important that we look to the future. We're so busy, aren't we? We're just getting on with life, you know, coming week. God wants us to be people who are aware of the future. And in that future, as Anne was reading to us, we look to a future where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. to a time when there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things will pass away. We can be confident of God as we look to the future, because there will be a time when all this grief and brokenness and sadness and crying will come to an end. I don't know where you're at the moment. I don't know all of you. Maybe some of you are mourning. Maybe some of you are privately mourning. You're going through something that's devastating. It's terribly private and you're not going to mention it over coffee, and that's fine. But I want you to hear the word of God. You are blessed. Blessed not to have the problem, we get that. But blessed because amidst the difficulties, God wants to encourage you. God wants to send his people to encourage you. And he wants you to put it into the context of knowing that he's got a glorious future for you. May God bless you as you listen to this surprising word and find encouragement in it. Blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. You will be encouraged. Amen. Amazing grace. Let's celebrate it together as we sing our final song.
Please do stand.
Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gift of yourself. Thank you for all the ways in which we've experienced you until this day. But Lord, we pray now for the future. And we pray that we may go into your future with confidence, knowing that you will perfectly provide for us as we face many challenges, many difficulties, many snares. Lord, be with us, we pray. So may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Rest and abide with each one of us this day and always. Amen.